Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Hook, Line, and Splitter is presented by NJR Home Services. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Good day, everybody. I'm Greg Giamborisi. And thank you so much for tuning in here today. Special guest, Blue Claws first baseman, Rickson Wingrove. He'll be our guest. This is episode 40, which is it's pretty cool. Started this last year. It's been a few weeks, but we're back, and we're going to get a bunch of episodes coming up over the next couple of weeks for you as we approach the end of June into the teeth of the summer. July 4th, just a few weeks away, 2 weeks from Monday. Blue Claws will be home for that. This will be a big weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday against Aberdeen. We're recording this on Friday morning, the 17th, and the Blue Claws picked up a nice 10-4 win on Thursday night, the 16th. Johan Rojas had a big night, stole his 31st base. DJ Stewart had two homers. Herbert Iser hit a home run as well. And then the weekend set up pretty exciting. Mick Abel on Friday, Ben Brown on Saturday, and Andrew Painter on Sunday. Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963. Rickson Wingrove, big first baseman, 22 years old, from Newcastle, Australia, and he joined the Blue Claws on May 24th. He quickly made his presence felt at three home runs in his first week with Jersey Shore. As we record this, he's hitting over 350. Going into the weekend, four homers already, and he was tied for the team lead, but now DJ Stewart with those two homers on Thursday night up to six. But it's a fun story. Rickson's the fourth generation in his family to play play baseball, and that's obviously pretty rare for somebody that hails from Australia, but pretty cool. And then he started playing when he was around 10. He's actually known Kyle Glagoski for a long time, his current teammate with the Blue Claws. They started playing together around 13 or 14, and Glagoski ended up signing with the Phillies, and then a few other Australian players ended up signing with them not that long after that in 2018. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about his start with the Blue Claws, his time with 2021 Blue Claws manager Tank Adamson, because Rickson plays for Tank down in Australia in the Aussie Baseball League down there. What other sports did he play? What he likes about playing up here with the Blue Claws. Without further ado, our guest on Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast, is Blue Claws first baseman Rickson Wingrove. Our guest, Blue Claws first baseman Rickson Wingrove, an Australian native who joined the Blue Claws back on May 24th, hit three homers his first week. Rickson, welcome. How are you?
Good, mate. Thanks for having me on here. It's been good coming up to the Northeast and first time up here, so it's been pretty fun.
So before we talk about this year, I want to talk about your background. So growing up in Australia, when did you start playing baseball?
I started playing when I was about 10 years old for the local club that was back home, Phoenix. And it all really started. My family's on the fourth generation to play in my family, which is pretty funny to hear from an Australian, but yeah, my whole family's been diehard baseball, like all this baseball, that. I was lucky enough to grow up all around it.
So at what point when you were growing up did you think that playing professionally was a real serious option for you?
I'd like to say even when I was 5 years old, I knew I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. I knew that that's what the goal was for me. Like, I had the posters on the wall. Dad used to give me his old, I had the big poster of Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco on my wall of, the Bash Brothers. And, I knew I wanted to be one of those guys. And I think when I got to, 13, 14, I started to understand. I had two guys from my area that just both got signed with Major League Baseball clubs, and that's when I started to realize, all right, you have to go do this, and then you got to go here and then do that, and then the opportunity will come if you're good enough. So
who did you watch a lot of American baseball when you were growing up? And obviously the time difference, but you know, how did you follow it a lot? You said you had the posters on the wall. How did you follow the game?
I could have been probably the biggest baseball nerd ever. Like every day there'd be a baseball game on TV at about 9 o'clock in the morning. So I'd have to try and like get my way to going to school later, or when I'd go to school, I had the MLB app and I'd sneakily be watching it in class, like trying to follow through what's going on. Like I always understood what was going on.
So I know you met your current teammate, Kyle Glagoski, when you guys were younger. It's cool, obviously. It's really cool now that you guys are teammates here in the States. But when did you first come into contact with Kyle? And, you know, obviously now you're together with the Phillies.
It was pretty funny. Kyle and I first played against each other when we were like 13 years old in a backfield in the middle of nowhere in Australia. And everybody's like, we've got this New Zealand kid today that's come over to play. Like, we don't know what he's going to be like. And he was throwing about 85 miles an hour at like 14. No one's ever seen this before, like out of New Zealand. What is it? And I remember he had this haircut that was like the wild thing. So his team were cutting their own hair, and I was like, this dude is the scariest guy I've ever met in my life, because he was like 5'10 already at 14. I'm like, isn't he? And then now I've come to know him, I've known he's a bit soft, and he comes across as.
So he signed with the Phillies first, but you didn't sign that far after, right? Only 2 or 3 months, right?
Yeah, so there was like a Kyle was the first, and then I signed, and then one of my other best friends, Mitch Edwards, and Curtis Mead, both signed with the Phillies as well, all in about a 3 month period.
When did you first get on the radar of the Phillies and some of these other teams? Did you travel around, play outside of Australia, or did they see you out there?
Yeah, so about the age of like, every year there's like a national championships from like under 16s and under 18 when I was growing up, and every championships. And that's where all the scouts go, and then you get selected to go into like an MLB Australian Academy, which was the best 4 weeks of my life. We've all been playing against each other for a while now, like starting to form friendships. And you're about the age from 15 to 18 years old, all the prospects in Australia, and we all go up there and it's, you play baseball every day but Sunday. Like, we live the life of what a major league, like a minor league baseball player's like. And it was unbelievable. And then there's also, I got the opportunity to go away to the under-18s World Cup as well and play for Australia in Canada, so that was also like a good for scouts. And then I made one MLB World Select team, and me and Kyle were on that squad as well. And we traveled over to, down to Tampa and played against a few of like the extended like rookie league teams down there against pro ball guys. So I mean, I had a lot of exposure to scouts when I was younger. Like Australian baseball did a really good job of making sure we could always be seen.
Who were some of the Australian players that you followed when you were younger?
I mean, Grant Balfour was number one, because when I was younger, I was just a big Tampa Bay Rays fan. Like that was my team growing up. Like, so Grant Balfour, obviously my dad was a big Oakland A's fan, so he ended up playing for both of them. So we always rooted for him, but I mean, I had two guys from my area that were 4 years older than me, like the Wells twins. So always watching
those. Yeah, Alex.
Alex and Lachlan, yeah. So I grew Lachlan, up training them like my whole life until I was about 11 years old. So like getting to watch them go through and like leading the way in the way that I had to see how it was done always helped me like transition into pro ball a lot easier.
So how has the sport in Australia grown over the last, say, you know, 10 or 12 years? You know, here, you know, most kids, if they want to play a sport, you know, most kids will play Little League baseball. How many kids play Little League or the equivalent in Australia when they're, you know, 10 years old?
I mean, the thing about Australia is just we don't have that many people, but we have every single sport there is. Like, we just want to play sport. Everybody wants to try everything. Like, it's just a culture where everybody is, like, going to play something at least when they grow up, if not five or six things. And the game of baseball, like, it has its waves, its ups and downs. Like, COVID didn't help it too much as well, like, not getting the exposure on TV that it usually could get. But now that we got a few more Aussie guys in the big leagues, like Liam Hendricks, like, hopefully Whitey gets to stick up there and Alex comes back and he's back in there. And the more guys we have in the big leagues, like, the more exposure it's going to get. And hopefully the game continues to grow and ABL, like the Australian Winter League, gets stronger and we get more TV rights and more people start coming to games and more people start playing.
So the World Baseball Classic, that'll be coming back. And then, you know, they'll do that every couple of years. Is that a goal for you to play on the, you know, at the highest level on the national team to represent Australia in a global event like that?
Oh, absolutely. Like, to put on the green and gold for Australia is, like, will be one of the most prideful moments I hope to, you know, have in my career. And then next year is the 23 WBC. So I hope I put my name up for that and get selected. And it'd be a real honor to play for Australia.
So I know you've played in that Winter League. You're from up near, like, north of Sydney, right? That's where you, Newcastle. Yeah. But you played in Adelaide there with Tank, who, of course, managed here last year. So how did you end up down there, you know, playing for him?
So I had the choice whether to try and commute every day down to Sydney 2 hours or have the opportunity to go get some game time in Adelaide and play with a bunch of young kids that we weren't expected to do that well when I first went there back in 19. Like, we were expected to come last, and we just had a bunch of young kids who – and. Like, Tank led the way, and we ended up having the best record on the season, got to the championship, and kind of blew it. But, I mean, it happened.
What happens?
Yeah, you learn, like, but it was a fun time. Like, I love Adelaide, and, like, I love going back there, and it's something I look forward to every year.
So, I mean, you could look up on the fans can look up on Twitter if you hit a couple walk-off homers there. You know, hit a few bombs. What are some of your favorite Adelaide Giant memories?
Some of my favorite memories. I mean, the first one was definitely the funniest because we were playing, it was my first series, it was like my second game, like, new to the area. I just wanted to, like, have a bit of fun. I hit a home run in the eighth inning to get us within, like, within one run, and then with two out in runners on, you know, second and third, I had to cheap ground ball to short stuff, and my mate Whitey decides to score from second base, and I was like, what just happened? I've never seen that happen on a baseball field. And he happens to do it 3 weeks later in the exact same situation for me. That year he made me look pretty good, my mate Whitey.
Get a couple free RBIs on that one. So the first day I met you, you came here and I asked you how Tank was, and you had this big ear to ear grin. It's funny because, you know, he followed you here. You were with the Phillies before he did. What'd you learn from him, and what'd you take from him playing for him in the winters, or your summers there in the ABL and still playing for him?
I mean, Tank is a guy I feel like you can always go to about anything. He's very approachable, and, like, he's always worrying about how you are as a person, and, you know, he's always trying to make sure we're good people at the end of the day. And I'm trying to make sure that, you know, he's trying to keep me level keel at all times, you know, always on to the next, like, try and be a pro every single day, come out here and be a professional.
What was your reaction when he came to the Phillies?
Oh, we were stoked. I remember we found out when we were back home, and, I mean, I was pumped for him to get that opportunity. Like, I mean, he's taken it with both hands. He's a great guy. He loves the game, and he understands the game really well. So hopefully he's around for a while.
You guys had a few
Phillies were out there, right? Because Luke Williams was out there for one winner. Logan Oppy was out there for a winner. Curtis Mead was out there. He got traded last year. But, you know, they've had a few Phillies that have come through Adelaide.
Yeah, we got a few imports every year, like, from the Phillies. So they send out a few. And, yeah, I mean, Meadie's an Adelaide boy. So we're in his hometown when we go back there. So, yeah, we've just always sort of a thing because we all play together over here. So we're like, why not go have fun, work out every day? We have the opportunity to, you know, work on a pro ball schedule on, like, some Australian baseball league teams, like, not being a strictly professional, but, like, we get to work out together, you know, go train together, go play golf together. Like, we just live the life of freedom for summertime in Australia, so I can't complain about that.
What other sports did you play when you were growing up?
I mean, like, every other kid probably in the world, I played soccer a bit when I was growing up, but I was a big guy into cricket. I was a big cricket fan. I still am. Like, I love watching the cricket when I go home in the summer, and yeah, I love cricket.
Did you play rugby?
Or Aussie? I tried to play a little bit, but I realized, I know, even though I was, you know, 6'2", 105 kilos when I was about 14 years old, I realized I wasn't big enough to play, and that's when it started to get scary, you know. You know, 14-year-old kids that are bigger than me, that's when it's a bit of a worry.
Yeah, for sure. So you come here from Florida, get off to a great start. We're about three and a half weeks in to your time here with the Blue Claws. What do you attribute kind of your quick start here to?
I mean, it's just about just not getting caught in the moment, like, on to the next every single time. Like, all I can do is focus on what I can control right now and not getting caught up in what had happened, what's going to happen. It's just staying on what I need to do. Like,
was there another lefty that you like to watch? Yeah, that big, you know, traditional lefty uppercut swing. Was there a left-handed hitter that you like to watch when you were growing up?
It's funny to say, but I mean, everybody watches Barry Bonds. Like, I don't know who cannot watch Barry Bonds' swing and not go, he's not the best hitter of all time. Like, you cannot say that. Like, his swing was unbelievable. So he was one. David Ortiz was another growing up. Like, I knew I was going to be a bigger guy. So, I mean, definitely those two were, like, two that I very much looked into.
Goals that you have for the rest of the season?
I mean, just keep doing what I'm doing and, you know, not get caught up in the moment.
How do you like playing for Keith?
Ah, he's the man. Worm's the man. I've had a lot of fun with him already. Like, he's a great guy to have in the clubhouse. And, you know, he's always got our back too. So it's really good to have.
Well, thank you for a few minutes. Keep up the good work. I got a game here tonight. Good luck. Go get a W, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Rickson, for a few minutes.
Cool.
Build out a summer of fun with your own 2022 Jersey Shore Blue Claws Mini Plan. Five of the best games of the year, plus you'll get dinner and dessert at each game, boardwalk game tickets at each game, an exclusive season ticket holder gift, complimentary tickets to opening night at the Jersey Shore April 8th, presented by Jenkinson's Boardwalk 2. Log on to blueclaws.com/memberships today or call 732-901-7000 option 3 and tell them Hook, Line, and Splitter sent you. 732-901-7000 option 3 or blueclaws.com/memberships. Lightstar Energy Group is a leading energy brokerage firm headquartered in New Jersey. Our goal is to provide clients with premium energy management services to lower electricity and natural gas costs and to provide a long-term energy management strategy. We pride ourselves on bringing each and every individual business the same benefits of deregulation enjoyed by universities, municipalities, and all high-volume energy users. Tailored products and contracts, lower costs, personal attention, and outstanding service. 732-722-5880 to learn more about Lightstar Energy Group today. Thanks to Blue Claws first baseman Rickson Wingrove for joining us here. Episode 40 of Hook, Line, and Splitter. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Blue Claws are home again after this weekend on July the 4th. And that'll be a six-game series with Hudson Valley. It's kind of a unique series because they'll play on the 4th at 7:05 and then have the day off on Tuesday and then back with another game on Wednesday, which is an 11:05 a.m. game. So obviously all these series are six games Tuesday through Sunday, but because of the July 4th holiday, they made this one a kind of a little slightly different series with games being played Monday through Sunday with the off day Tuesday. because obviously everybody wants to host on the 4th, including the Blue Claws. So that'll be a fun night with the Renegades. Hook, Line, and Splitter brought to you by NJR Home Services, your local heating and cooling experts with thousands of five-star reviews. When it comes to your comfort, trust your home to the local heating and cooling experts. It's NJR Home Services at njrhomeservices.com. Promo preview for the weekend, Friday night, postgame fireworks. Girl Scouts of the Jersey Shore will be here for that. And then on Saturday, Margaritaville Night at the Ballpark, presented by Toyota World of Lakewood. The Philly Fanatic will be here for that, his only visit of the season. Jimmy Kenny of the Pirate Beach Band play live in the Sandbar from 6:15 to 9. That'll run, obviously, during the game, but start about 45 minutes before Ben Brown's first pitch. Sunday's Father's Day, Andrew Painter on the mound. To me, that's the best day of the year at the stadium. And you could bring out, you know, Marvel characters and the Rolling Stones, but you can't provide the wholesome family fun that we do on Sunday with fathers and sons and fathers and daughters and grandfathers and grandsons and grandfathers and granddaughters playing catch on the field after the game, on the professional field as they did in their backyard, you know, when these kids were 4, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. You can't beat it. It's a great day, and hopefully you can join us here on Sunday. So Andrew Painter will make his start for the Blue Claws on Sunday. He was called up last week. It was obviously a big deal, and he's the new Phillies' number one prospect, according to the folks at MLB Pipeline, and he had just a magnificent run with Clearwater this year. 9 games, he struck out 69 hitters and walked 16 in 38 and two-thirds innings, and he struck out 69 of the 149 batters that he faced with the Threshers earlier this year. Last year, he only pitched 6 innings with Clearwater. They were just warming him up, and he struck out 12. That was after his high school senior season at Calvary Christian down in Fort Lauderdale. So looking forward to getting to see him make his Shoretown debut on Sunday. And Blue Claws actually have quite the rotation right now, including some of the top Phillies prospects, and Griff McGarry, who's been pitching on Wednesdays, and then Mick Abel Friday, Ben Brown Saturday, and Andrew Painter Sunday. Brown not ranked by the prospect sites, but he will be soon. He's had missed some time with some injuries over the last few years, but he will be very soon, as he should be, and he's having a spectacular season. In fact, Ben Brown, who will pitch Saturday, has allowed just 2 earned runs in 27 and two-thirds innings in his last 5 starts with 44 strikeouts. DJ Stewart hit those 2 homers on Thursday night. It was the first 2-home run game by a Blue Claw this year, and they had 5 of them last year, 4 by Jaylene Ortiz, who in his last week with the Blue Claws had multi-home run games on back-to-back days in a series down in Winston-Salem on a Saturday and Sunday, and then he was promoted to Double-A Reading, where he is now, later on in that week. So that'll wrap us up here for this episode. Thanks to Rickson Wingrove for joining us. I'm Greg Giamborisi. We will see you soon. See you in Shoretown, in fact. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for listening to Hook, Line, and Splitter. It's a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast.